I feel it's important to orient us again to what's coming. This will be our final month together. I think I finished the month of April, and then Dr. Gromacki will be back. Dr. Gromacki. I noticed his name was already on the program for tonight, but I'm here anyway, so the people in the office are getting anxious, I guess, to make this shift. So anyway, that will be done in a month. That's the idea here. We come tonight to one final session on 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9 on Paul defending his offering for the poor saints in Jerusalem. That is our text of the evening. And then starting next week, we'll go into the final session or section of 2 Corinthians chapters 10 through 13. And all of that to say, I will have a new handout for you on that occasion. So we're just kind of finishing up where we were. We're going to start our final run for the end of our time together next week. So that's just a little bit of an orientation to you. Yes, sir. Oh, okay. Well, we don't have outlines tonight, so you'll just have to kind of listen really well. And John will help you, I'm sure. Okay, thank you. So what we're doing tonight is totally different. Usually you come and very quietly listen to what I have to say and sleep or say amen or whatever you're going to do. But tonight it's really on you. I'm putting this right back on you, and then we're going to answer a question. You're going to answer a question based on 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. And the question simply is, what are the basic principles for our giving that we can learn from these two chapters? The basic principles for our giving. Seems an appropriate song, Mark, that you had to sing there at the end. Have thine own way, Lord, especially when it comes to our money. We're going to focus on that particular facet of our living. I feel kind of half-dressed tonight, but it has nothing to do with what I'm wearing. I feel half-dressed because I do not have a set of notes here. I am just very dependent on you to supply the content, the information that we're going to be covering tonight. So it's if you'd feel some little degree of pressure, that's good. That's good. I need to put you under a little bit of pressure because there's going to come a point where I'm just going to be very quiet and you are going to contribute and teach the class for us. So And you're good at that. We've done this a few times over the years, so I know you are very good at it. And I also believe that you will really nail this subject as to what we are supposed to be learning about our own giving based on what Paul wrote here. But it did seem appropriate that I at least read those relevant verses to you and refresh our memory since we haven't been here for 2 weeks. So I'm going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 12, first of all. And as I do that, then I put you on the lookout for what we can learn about our own giving from what Paul wrote. So here we go. 2 Corinthians 8, 1 and following. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. So we urged Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace in you as well. But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And in this I give advice, it is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago, but now you also must complete the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to desire it, so there also may be a completion out of what you have. And then I'm going to take you to chapter 9, read a similar section, chapter 9, verses 1 through 11, and we can find some other principles here for our own giving. Chapter 9, verse 1. Now concerning the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know your willingness, about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority. Yet I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this respect, that as I said, you may be ready. Lest if some Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to mention you, should be ashamed of this confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Now perhaps it would be fair, at least a shot at being balanced, if we take some principles out of chapter 8 first, and then move some principles from chapter 9 second. So I think we'll try that. I have my trusty little pen here, and we have this night whiteboard that is glowing in your eyes. And so we're going to try to see how many solid biblical principles we can come up with that control the way, how much, why we give, okay? So without further ado, it's time for me to be quiet and for you to speak right up and share with us what you see in the text, particularly 2 Corinthians chapter 8 as it relates to our giving. Right here. Okay, so we're going to start with, it's based on grace, okay? I will try to write nicely. Based on God's grace to us. Thank you, we needed a brave soul to be first. And there was another hand, though. Yes, sir. And the principle is?
Caring for the others.
Caring for others. Okay. Alrighty. Caring for others. lot of our giving should be aimed toward helping others. And I saw another hand back there. Yes, sir.
Yeah, not grudgingly or out of coercion.
Okay. Okay, those are all good words. I think they're all right in the text, aren't they? So we have, I'll just choose the word obligation, if that's okay, or necessity, not out of simply an obligation. I'll put you on the spot here. Tell me what comes to your mind when you use the word obligation.
Well, for me, it's now I'm doing something to earn something. I'm giving so I can somehow maybe earn favor or to, well, I'm showing I'm worthy now because I'm doing this, but
okay.
I can't do that.
Okay. That's a wrong motive behind our giving. Yeah, okay. Yes.
We give out of love, whether it is time or talent or money.
Okay. All right. Now, that's a whole sermon right there, I would say. We give out of love, and then you mentioned time, talent, and I think you said money. Is that right?
Yes.
All right. Time, talent, or money. Joy. Out of love. Rudy, I heard a word.
Joy.
Give joyfully. Okay. All right. Now, Rudy, sometimes I struggle with that. So what are you going to say to me to help me? Why should I be joyful in giving?
Gratitude.
Because
of the very basis, the grace of God.
Okay, good. Gratitude for the grace of God. So I give joyfully. Very good. Somebody else was going to get me. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, they did. They gave out of their means and beyond their means. Especially the Macedonians, those in northern Greece. They were a lot of poverty, a lot of poor folks there. So, let's see. They gave out of their means and sometimes they went beyond their means. What do we call it? What's another word for it when we go and give beyond our means?
Sacrificially.
Yeah, they gave sacrificially. They really couldn't afford to do it. Okay. Yes.
I think you begin with the Abraham offering to the Most High Priest Melchizedek.
Yeah.
And I can't remember the story, but I think that the Lord delivered him from some kind of battle. And out of thankfulness, then he offered 10% of everything he had, something like that.
That is correct. That was what Abraham did, and it was out of a battle. And from the spoils of war, he did give the Lord 10% of that. And that's probably the origin of the notion of a tithe and giving to the Lord at least 10%. Interesting that in these chapters, we don't receive a percentage number, do we, in chapters 8 and 9 here?
It actually implies that it's more than giving more. In other words, it's no limit.
No limit.
It's no limit. As a matter of fact, it's encouraged to give abundantly.
Okay. All right. So not just joyfully, but abundantly. I'm going to add that word. You just gave it to me. Abundantly. Okay. Now, someone bail Rudy out here. I'm not going to put him on the spot. What is in the passage there that encourages? You said it encourages us to give abundantly. Okay, what is said there that does that? Yes.
I'm just feeling like it's based in unity. It's based upon unity of the saints.
Oh, okay.
So the giving is based on unifying the saints.
Yes, and that was really the intent of this particular offering that Paul was defending, to show the unity between especially the Jew and Gentile believers of that day. That's very true. So I guess I'm going to have to put that up here too. Where at least it is to show. There we go. to show the unity of the saints. We all do this together. But I'm not going to let Rudy off the hook. Abundantly. What is there? There's a lot in there. Yes, Jane?
It says to give ourselves first.
To? All right, give yourself first.
Before we give our money.
He wants us before our money. Okay.
Like Jesus.
Like the Lord did. And right here, Jim. Our giving?
Yes.
Okay.
He loves
a cheerful giver. Are we getting into chapter 9 or are we doing that? Okay. That's okay. Well, we'll forgive him for that. Okay. God loves, you know, that word is literally hilarious. But we get our English word hilarity. God loves a hilarious giver. Happy? Okay. Abundant? Anybody else want to help Rudy out here and get him off this hook I put him on? Yes, Mark?
He gave us everything. He gave us his only son. So why shouldn't we want to give him abundantly?
Okay, there you go. He gave us his son. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, he became poor. And therefore, matching the abundance of that gift, we can give abundantly. Thank you, Mark. Rudy feels better now about this. Yes?
There's different talents, but some people, they have the talent of giving.
Oh. Is that, do you see that in these particular verses, or where did that come from?
Just from experience.
Okay. All right. But I'm gonna put that up there because I think you're onto something there. Some people do seem to have a gift of giving. It involves perhaps their money, but perhaps a whole lot of other things, and they just get great joy, and it seems almost second nature to be able to just give. It's very true. Yes. Gratefulness as a principle of our giving, all right? Yes, gratefulness. I better change it to gratitude so I can spell it right, okay? There we go. Gratefulness or gratitude, okay? Well, you're off to a very good start here. Now, this is very nice. Nobody is bored or going to sleep yet, and you are thinking, and all of that is good. But we got to. Oh, okay, Rudy. Here we go.
2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift.
Okay, and so in view of that gift, we give. Now back to Rudy.
Well, I think this is in verse. Which one is it? Verse. well, someone has said it says we are supposed to give them first. In other words, we give ourselves first to the Lord.
Yes.
And then we give to God's work.
Yes.
So God's work is the second thing that we give to. And I think what they... What were they given to? They were given to the to support the ministry.
Yes, they were.
So that is the important part.
Okay. They gave themselves first to the Lord, and then they gave to his work.
Right.
So there was an order there.
Right.
An order there. Go ahead and read it. Read it for me. Okay, thank you, thank you. I've ignored somebody, and I don't want to do that.
I see in verse 15 that you cannot give God.
You cannot outgive God. Where did you get that?
If you ever give it much, you have nothing left over.
Okay, that's a wonderful principle. You cannot outgive God. We've already hinted at that with thanks be unto God for his indescribable gift. You can't outgive him in that sense. Have any of you ever tried to outgive God? I'm sorry?
Impossible,
okay. But we have heard of people who gave and tried to then live off of 50% of their income and give 50% to the Lord. Or I think it was one gentleman, 90% and live on the 10%. Stanley Tam up here in Lima, up this way. And they didn't starve to death. In the back, way in the back. Is that right? So that would be a similar thing with this other gentleman. And there's another one down in Texas, R.G. Letourneau. These folks who obviously attempted to outgive God, and you can't do it. And then there's a gentleman over here. I didn't mean to ignore you. Yes. Okay.
And they see that, wow, there really is something different.
All right. So it's a visible, real evidence of your love for the Lord and others. Do I have that up here somewhere? I don't know that I do. We'll just put this here. It is an evidence. It's a clear evidence of your love for the Lord and others. It's not just words. I think that's basically where you were going. It's not just words, it's action. It's action. Okay? Now, can I move you into chapter 9 if you haven't already gone there too far? And that's okay if you have. There may be a few other things out of chapter 9 that are important here for our thinking. Yes?
They were eager to give.
Okay? Please, let's have the offering. Let's pass the plates again. They were eager. I take it that the Gentiles were particularly eager to show to the Jewish believers their solidarity. You know, we're really with you, and we believe in Christ, and we believe in the gospel, and we're standing firmly with you. And they were very eager to show that, and thus eager to give. In this way. Yes.
Give it abundantly. We talked about sparingly versus abundantly. So the bottom line
is yes. Okay. Give abundantly. I think you do have that word somewhere up there. And there was another hand. I thought yes.
God is the one who gives us the grace. It says God is in verse 8. God is able. All grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work.
Yeah. God is the one who really moves us to do the giving. And I want you to look at that verse now a little more closely. The word all or every occurs 4 or 5 times there. Can you count them for me?
4 alls and 1 every.
Yeah. Read that out loud again. I don't want you to miss that little emphasis.
And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work.
Okay. What do those alls appeal to? What are they trying to produce within us, all those alls? A willingness to give. And?
Generosity with what God has given us because he gave it to us.
All right, a generosity. Yes?
Verse 10 says that they will do this work, but also to desire to do it.
All right, exactly.
They wouldn't have the desire.
Right.
And if God is spirit and truth, God does not need our money. So where your heart is, so your treasure is.
Right.
So it benefits us in the long run.
All right.
Because it spreads out to the community, and then it built a whole Western world on this truth.
Yeah. That's really true. That's true. So it starts with they were believing in the cause and they were thus willing to give. Yes, Jim?
They also establish the goal and then they complete it. So some of you willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means.
All right. They, have we thought about this offering enough to realize that what's going on here is that the Corinthians had promised that they would participate in this offering a year before. But they hadn't done it. They hadn't completed that that desire and that intention. But now, this a year later, Paul is writing and saying, hey, the Macedonians have given, it's time for you to complete this promise, faith promise, if you will, this offering that you pledged, I may use that term, pledged a year ago. Now it's time to do it. So they did have a goal. And he says it's time for you to meet that goal. Yeah. Yes?
Based on that, each one giving whatever they are able to give creates a bigger gift. So that when he took the gift, they gave a large gift to minister to
That's exactly right. This was apparently a rather large gift when it all came together. And that's another reason, I think, why Paul had these trusted men to carry it and those built-in safeguards to be sure that it actually accomplished what it was originally given for. So, but it was a lot of them giving everything they were led to give. Yeah. Yes? Yes. Ready. Exactly. And I want to take that readiness back to what this gentleman mentioned a moment ago. This is not supposed to be done out of obligation or necessity or what I would call today social pressure, where people are somehow pressing you to putting you perhaps even on a guilt trip if you don't. Paul is saying, no, I'm sending these men ahead so that your giving can be done because you are ready to give and you want and are willing to give, not because you might be embarrassed if you don't give. So, ready. Kind of a mental, emotional readiness there. And I'm going to use that. Well, I can put it right here by eager. And they were ready as well. Yes.
Nancy.
What's that? Oh, Nancy.
It's a heart decision.
Okay.
It says they are to decide in their heart.
All right.
Not just in your mind or, like you said, because somebody else says you should.
Okay.
It should be a heart decision.
A heart decision. Okay. Which means, I think, what you're telling me is that this isn't a flippant kind of a thing. And I think, I guess I'm going to go off on a little rabbit trail here. If it is a heart decision, that is something you feel very keenly about, then that at least would necessitate some discussion with your husband or wife so that there is some unity here and we are together in our heart and we both feel burdened and desirous to do this. That's a little bit of a stretch from what our text is, but it seems at least practically realistic. Yeah. So I thought I saw somebody else move. It's a dangerous thing. Yes?
I was just going to say that the more you sow, the more you reap.
Okay, he gives that principle, doesn't he? The more you sow, the more you reap, and the less. Yeah. It's not just works in agriculture. It works in giving. Yes, exactly, exactly. And of course, they would understand that figure being the agricultural culture that they were. It's very true. I think it does appeal to what I'm simply going to... I don't think the text uses this word, but it does appeal to our faith that we have to trust the Lord. And even if you're going to give sacrificially and abundantly and perhaps even more than you think you can afford to give, trust the Lord in that. Okay. It's not bad to be quiet. It's okay. You just think, kind of reflect on this passage of Scripture. But I would like to, I want to take you down this road for just a couple minutes, if I have a couple of brave souls. Are there folks here who have experienced giving and the Lord supplying their needs? You say, can you give me an example or two, you know, where you kind of stepped out and the Lord showed himself faithful? Yes.
Okay, so...
Speak right up so they can hear you over there now.
Can we stand up?
That'd be fine. I didn't say stand, I said speak up. I wouldn't embarrass you at all.
This is a while back, but my mom was living with me, and the Lord was really drawing me closer to himself at that time. And I went to church that day, and I left my grow group, and I felt the Lord putting on my heart to... I was selling a big house that I had with furniture and everything, and I felt the Lord tugging on my heart to write a check for $300. So I didn't tell anybody about this. I just wrote the check, stick it in the offering plate. I was very excited because I knew he was up to something. I get home and my mom says, "You're not going to believe what happened. We sold your couch for $300. I said, "No, Mom, you're not going to believe what happened.
Right?
God told me to write a check for $300. So he was teaching me at that time.
Wow.
When he gives, he will take care of you.
You give, he supplies. Neat.
Right.
Thank you. That's exactly the kind of illustration I was hoping for. I didn't want to put anybody on the spot or embarrass anyone. Someone else, you'd like to share something, your experience, some experience in giving. Yes, Art?
When I started my church, we were on faith. And sometimes it was very little, week after week. It was $5 that was given. Would you believe we went out to the grocery store and got two bags filled with food for $5? Just exactly what we needed.
Yeah, I believe you.
And then when I filled out my income tax, they said, "You're giving too much. You're giving beyond what you're getting."
Yeah.
I said, "Oh no, we're trusting the Lord."
Amen. Yeah, the day for getting two bags of groceries for $5 is probably gone. It's probably gone. A long time ago. Yes, in the back.
I was on the receiving end of someone giving to me. My husband was on the liver transplant list, and so he couldn't work for several years. And a lady at church came up to me after church, and she said, "The Lord told me to give you a check for $100. And I said, "Well, thank you." And then the next day, our plumbing went out, and it was exactly $100 to fix it.
Amen. Wow.
It shows amazing when someone's obedient to God, how it can bless someone.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Yes.
I have another story.
Okay.
Okay. So, I don't know, about 3 years ago, I was seeing a pastor on a pretty regular basis, and he was just encouraging me. I was going through a hard time. And he had told me that when he started the church that he was at, he was really relying on the Lord to provide everything, and he went so far as to not take a salary from
doing that for many, many years. Hmm. So I knew that up front, and he never asked me for a penny. And I was seeing him quite often for a while. And one day I just heard the Lord say to me, so how much do you want to give him? And I immediately, my heart just jumped up, and I said $1,000. And I didn't know where I was going to get the money from, but, you know, I had it. So I wrote the check for $1,000. I handed it to him, and he says, oh my gosh, you're not going to believe this, but we just had some bills come in, some medical bills, and they were, like, around that amount of money, and we did not know how we were going to pay for it.
Similar. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Yes. Right. So you have the faithfulness of God, not just to individuals and prompting of the Spirit of God, but groups that step out on faith and give, etc. Neat. Okay. Well, I just wanted to let you do this, and I knew you would rise to the occasion, and you have. One more. Oh, we can't allow Romans. I'm sorry. This is...
Romans 15 says, for Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. Yes, they were pleased to do so, and they are indebted to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in their spiritual things, they are indebted to minister to them also in material things. Therefore, when I finish this and put my seal on this fruit of theirs, I will go my way.
Amen. You're right. That's exactly right. Okay. We'll have our musicians back to the instruments here. It's hymn number 185. It actually goes along with many of the principles that you pointed out tonight. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. Familiar hymn, watch those words. They have an awful lot to do with this notion of gratitude and of giving back to the Lord in view of His kindness to us. 185, let's stand as we close with this song.